I ask your patience. I'm going to read a few passages, starting from Daniel chapter 5, book of Daniel chapter 5, and verse 27. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Then in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1, from verse 18, 1 Peter 1, verse 18, knowing that ye have been redeemed not by corruptible things as silver or gold, from our vain conversation handed down from your fathers, but by precious blood, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but who has been manifested at the end of times for your sakes, who by him do believe on God, who has raised him from among the dead and given him glory, that your faith and hope should be in God. Chapter 2 of the same epistle, chapter 2 and verse 6, because it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be put to shame. And I turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, reading from verse 3. And when he was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he lay at table, there came a woman having an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And having broken the alabaster flask, she poured it upon his head. She poured it out upon his head. And there were some indignant in themselves, and saying, why has this waste been made of the ointment? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they spoke very angrily at her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do ye trouble her? She has wrought a good work as to me, for he hath the poor always with you, and whenever he can do them good, but me he hath not always. What she could, she has done. She has beforehand anointed my body for the burial. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever these glad tidings may be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall be also spoken of for a memorial of her. Luke chapter 6, Luke's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall be given into your bosom. For with the same measure with which ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And the final passage in Ephesians 4, Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 13, until we all arrive at the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, at the full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. I have sought, seeking the Lord's help, to speak a bit together about divine evaluation. And in order to speak of such a subject, I think it's important to start with the evaluation of the creature. And I thought of this passage in Daniel, which speaks very clearly of what God thinks about us. You have been weighed, and you have been found wanting. You know, if it was physical weight, Most people will be very happy to be found wanting, because the case is that most are overweight. But here, wanting is a very serious matter. Is the creature before, in the presence of God? You know, God set his measures. He speaks of them with Job. He says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? When I measured with the line?" And then he says, how would you, I think he says in Job 11, I think it speaks of the, "Where were you? And how can you reach or understand God?" Yes, he says, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find the Almighty to perfection? Is it as the heights of the heaven? What wilt thou do? Deeper than Sheol, what canst thou do? The measure thereof is longer than the earth, and broader than the sea." These are the measures set by God in creation. We cannot attain them. We cannot reach them. But then there is the side of the answer towards God. You know this story of this King Belshazzar. He had commanded to have the vessels of the temple in order to drink at a feast they had. And God, that not only he didn't acknowledge God, but he despised the vessels of the temple. This is what we are according to human nature. We don't have any appreciation for the divine side. No appreciation at all. But God's measure was there. And he said, "Thou art found wanting." So where can we reach? What can we reach with our human efforts? Nothing at all. How can we attempt to answer to our God? In no way, with our own efforts. We'll be found wanting. And there won't be any way in which we'll become equal to God apart from his own action in grace. And that is exactly what is important to understand. That the measure that is set there is set according to the divine order. If you read in the Leviticus, you find that the ransom of a person is valued according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The silver shekel of the sanctuary is the measure that God had appointed for the ransom of a man, 50 shekels. And what did men do? They valued the Lord 30 shekels. That was awful, wasn't it? Not even reaching the divine measure. That was the attitude of mankind and the attitude of our own nature. But in God's mercy, there is a remedy that is provided. And the remedy is valued precious. And that is what Peter says to us in his epistle. He says, "You have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord of Christ." The preciousness is not ours. It's not our estimation. It's the estimation of God. That blood stood there in the presence of God to cover our sins, to fill the measure that was found wanting, to bring us to the level of divine blessing. Is it something that we have experienced in our own history with God in our own pathway? You know, Peter didn't understand all this at the beginning. He was he was a man like we are, but like little by little, walking with the Lord, he learned how to appreciate his Lord. And learning to appreciate him, he could then write in his epistle this precious passage that we have read. That is the preciousness of his blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood of Christ. This is how God views it. This is an evaluation of our God for the work of the Lord Jesus and for his own person. It says here that he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but who has been manifested at the end of the times for your sakes. And then he speaks of him being raised from the dead. Think of what God has acted in the full appreciation of his own Son. No measures wanting in the Lord Jesus. All perfect, all equal, all according to God's pleasure. Are we seeking for that measure? Seeking for that kind of evaluation? Are we appreciating in our hearts what God has appreciated himself in the Lord Jesus? The precious blood of the Lord Jesus. This has put the remedy. You see, I read about Belshazzar. Is a special type, of course, but it's really the history of men despising what is of God. And the remedy is found in the person who came here, who not only appreciated it, but fulfilled completely the will of God. This is really what is in view. It says that he, by him, he do believe on God. This is really what has been presented in the Lord for our faith. And he has given him glory, that your faith and hope should be in God. There is an aim in the appreciation of God, of the Lord Jesus by God, in the fact that we can have faith in him. We can found our trust in his person. And then in the second passage in Peter, he speaks of the precious cornerstone, elect precious. Here again is God's evaluation of the stone. It has been set there as a stone that could be the foundation of the building. Now, what building was that? You know, God, there again in speaking to Job, he says, where were you when I laid the cornerstone of the earth? That was creation. But here, the stone is in view of the building that is being built now on the Lord Jesus himself. On that stone, I shall build my assembly. That is the stone that has been defined precious by God, precious stone. And this is really what becomes the foundation of our pathway. You see, so far, the evaluation of God is really based on one person, the Lord Jesus himself. But being the cornerstone himself, there is the building that is built, and God's appreciation can go towards that building, that those persons that compose this precious building, the body of the Lord Jesus himself, the church. I think this helps us. We have spoken before of the work of the Holy Spirit and of his presence and of the effect of his power. And I think at this time, the evaluation of what is so precious in the eyes of God brings appreciation in our hearts. And the aim of it is that we grow to the full appreciation of what is in view. That is the final object in view. Now, when we turn to Mark, we have something that is very fine. You know, the setting there is a setting of contrast. This was happening in the house of Simon the leper. Now, that kind of thing, that kind of disease, is what needed healing from the Lord by the power of the Lord Jesus. And just in that house, this woman comes in and brings in this offer for the Lord Jesus. The appreciation there is a divine appreciation, again, is the appreciation of the Lord himself. Over in contrast with what men could say then. Even those who were intimate with the Lord seemed to be indignant. But the Lord appreciated that offer. What was it that made it so special? One thing is that it was dedicated to the Lord himself alone. It has been suggested that she broke the flask because she didn't want to use it for anybody else. You know? And this is what we can do. Can we offer something to the Lord that is unique for him? That shows the appreciation in our hearts that comes directly from the appreciation of God. You know, the Lord has been put there as a model for us. All God's pleasure is centered in him. Are we drawn to the same appreciation, to the same understanding of what is in God's ways with the Lord Jesus? We are in his ways through the Lord. We couldn't go to the Father without the Lord Jesus. That is what he said. The Lord said that. And we go to him through that. And when we go to him, we find the appreciation. And this woman was on that line. The Lord puts it very nicely. He says she has done what she could. No, but this was precious ointment. And what is wrought by the Spirit in our hearts is precious. And is there that can be really produced in view of the answer to our Lord Jesus. The view, what is in view, is answer to the divine persons. That is what we find so precious in the supper, isn't it? We start with the breaking, with the symbols, the emblems. We start with the emblems. That is an earthly thing. They are physical, actually. But then we are brought into the appreciation of the Lord Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, and of the Father. And we draw to the worship of the divine persons in a way in which we can come to really to God himself. We don't want to be formal in these things, but understand the meaning of them and understand the blessedness there is in the answer to the divine persons. It's something that affects the scenery here. Is what the Lord could see in she has beforehand I anointed my body for the burial. What a grace of the Lord to acknowledge this woman with such intelligence. She had understood that the Lord Jesus was God's vessel on this earth that could not only accomplish his will but could give him pleasure. And in that way, he would have been refused and be put to death. This is what the Lord thinks or grants her to have understood for his burial. Now, the burial of the Lord was really the evidence of it, of his death. And the death of the Lord was there as a precious remedy in the eyes of God, in order to take away the judgment from the creature and introduce a situation, a blessing, and a situation of forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And this, the Lord adds to that, that wheresoever these glad tidings may be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I have often thought of that because I don't remember many preachings in which what the woman has done has been reminded to those hearing. But I think it's not the physical side of quoting the woman, but it's the fact that the glad tidings produce a fruit in our hearts, if the ground is ready on account of God's mercy, if the ground is ready, they produce an effect. And that effect that is produced is on the line of the answer to the Lord Jesus, as this ointment is. You know, you cannot accept the glad tidings and believe in the Lord without feeling that you want to answer to Him. You cannot accept all this and see God's plans without understanding that the pleasure of God was all centered in the Lord Jesus. And that is exactly that kind of divine evaluation that we want to understand and to attain when we become more acquainted with what is contained in God's plans for us. So the Lord has made this remark, and that ended the question with those present. She was there, she had done the offer, it was appreciated, and they just had no other option than to be silent in front of that, because the Lord had appreciated it. Now, what is produced in our hearts is produced on an individual basis. We have to do with our Lord personally. As a start in acknowledging our own state, had Belshazzar known what his father had done in repenting and in humbling himself before God, he would have got much further. But he never repented. And that is what is important to start with. That is the individual side. This is not exactly a gospel preaching, but all those who are present really know what it means to have to do with our Lord as a Savior. It establishes this link with Him. And if you haven't done that yet, this is the time for doing it. Establish your link with the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. And then you acknowledge Him as your own Lord. And then you know the divine estimation of the Lord Jesus by God Himself. And there you are drawn to do this offer. And this offer is not ointment as this woman poured in a physical way, but is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit that can really produce what is essential for the answer to our Lord Jesus. Think of His death. Think of His burial. Think of His rising again. Think of His glory with which He has been crowned by the Father. And think of His position now, high in the heavens at the right hand of God, waiting for the time in which it will be publicly manifested. You know, the kingdom is there already as an influence. It's not evident. The kingdom of heavens present in the word of God that is announced and that is available to us, but the king is not there. The treasure is in the field buried. Everything is still hidden. But when the time will come, it will be revealed, and the revelation will show the glory of the Lord. And this builds up this the glory of the Lord requires not only what is individual in us, but requires also what we can share together. And when we come to that, we come to the fellowship together, but we come to the answer of the bride. And the answer of the bride is something that is according to the divine estimation. The bride is prepared for the bridegroom. Imagine the glory that is there in the bridegroom and how the bride can be prepared for such glory, to meet and to be suited to that situation of being the bride of such a glorious man. This is what is in view. But in the individual side, we have to come to it through experience with our Lord. And I think it is important, that is what affected me when I thought of this side of the divine evaluation, it's important that we have an idea of that. You know, each thing that we do is evaluated by our God. And when I thought of that, I nearly had a fright. Because how can I stand before my God when I think that all that I do is evaluated by Him? According to the divine measure, the ransom measure, the silver speaks to us of the ransom. And those 50 shekels that are just a type, of course, but are there between me and my God. And that has been met by my Lord Jesus. And that is what requires my understanding, the divine evaluation. No matter how much I value it, it's what God has valued it that is important and that stands in my heart. And that's why I turned to the last passage in Ephesians. You know, I cannot say much by way of experience, but in this passage we have standards there that are set for us. One standard is the unity of the faith. Now, when you look around nowadays, you don't see much unity in faith. Think of the various professing churches there are, or the various companies. But the unity in faith is the scriptural thought, and is what the aim is in view. And as the divine evaluation of faith is according to you, the unity of it. And this is what is in view to arrive at that, and the knowledge of the Son of God. This is another side. We spoke of that before. There was a witness to the fact that indeed the Lord Jesus was the Son of God. And have we valued that aspect of things? We arrive at these truths through what is revealed to us by the Lord in the Scriptures. And the Word of God is addressed to us in order that we may really be affected by it and by the divine estimation that is there. What blessedness there was in the fact that all the plan was revealed in a way that we can understand it. We couldn't have understood it otherwise, unless it was proposed in a simple way by the Lord Jesus. Well, how many times the Lord uses simple expressions to explain what God had in view in His plans. And this, the apostle is exhorting this assembly to arrive at. The unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, the full-grown man, and the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. Now, that is something that is unmeasurable for us. It's the measure that God has in view, the fullness of the Christ. I think it expresses all the divine estimation of what the Lord Jesus has set forth in His plan, in His coming here, and in His glory. What was there that could be seen in a lowly man like Him? But what power came out in His person? Not only in the miracles, they were great enough, of course, but not only in that, but in His words, in His behavior, in His answers. Think of the answers of the Lord to the attack of the enemy in the desert. The Word of God was used in each attack, and the Word of God showed the power of that man that was there. The divine estimation of the fullness of His stature. Something that stands there in all His glory. Think of the when it will become evident as the King of glory that will come in and the fullness of the stature will be seen. Are we ready for such a show, a display of power and glory? Are we ready in our hearts for the estimation that accompanies the person of the Lord in God's eyes, right from when it was presented in a lowly way The estimation was there already in that babe, in the manger, and it was there on the man on the cross. That was in the public shame of the refusal, but was in the real estimation of our God. Now, really, I particularly desire that those who are younger amongst us may really find the blessedness of this estimation. You know, if you come to the Lord and you seek His word, you find that He's communicating to you right what God had in mind in His plan. But when you come to that, you find that all that is of precious value. And we have had here instances of this preciousness, not only the blood, but the cornerstone, something that is offered to the faith of the believer and in which we can trust, but that we have to grow in the appreciation. But the standard is not our own standard, it's the divine standard. And the divine standard expresses the full evaluation that God has put into His own Son and into His plan. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us. You know, we have said before that He shall lead us in all the truth. Now, all the truth has in view also the full display of the glory of the Lord. And that is something that we are still in earthly conditions, something that can be reached through the Spirit, as we said before. And I just hope that we can be encouraged together. I don't think I cannot say much more, and of course it's a test to myself how much I appreciate of the Lord and of His plans and of God's plans. But I just propose it to each one of us as an exercise to look unto Him and to look unto what has been manifested and to be fully and to be exercised in our hearts to reach this fullness. It's not something we attain with study or with courses or with anything like that. We attain it through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, communion with Him, service of the Holy Spirit, dependence on Him, and understanding of the Holy Scriptures. It's all contained there, all revealed, but expressed in a living way, in a living person that can live in your hearts, in our hearts, and that we can appreciate. May the Lord bless us together for His name's sake. Amen.